Okay, today's staff is Steph Ayin. I just want to fix something that I misunderstood yesterday. It's not such a critical detail, but it does, you know, when the cases got so absurd, I actually thought they were more absurd than they were. So the Peel case, the second elephant case, was that the palm fibers went through the elephant, came out of the elephant, and then using the fibers that went through, the person made a basket. It wasn't that the basket got formed in the body of the elephant. Well, the question is, was there any sort of process that happened to them or not? In other words, I think you could have made a basket from them before. The question is, once they went through the animal,
make a basket?
Right, can you make a basket? You know, if you were to make a basket, what would be its status? Okay, so, by Rabba, we're at the very bottom of Samach Tet Amud Bet, the last few words. So, continuing along the lines, yesterday we finished off with a case where we had the base of something that had a different status than what grew from it, right? So we had the ikar, and then we had what grew from it. So Rabbi asked another question about a case like that, where something, remember, you took, let's say, chitin, and then you replanted them, and then they grew more once you replanted them. And then, yeah, there were different things, and we talked about it in regards to the omer, where you took a crop that was already from the crop that was mutar, or, you know, the new crop from this year, then you replanted it, and then it took root after the Omer was brought. So the question is, which year would it be considered? So Rabbi now asks, L'inya ma'aser mai? So what about l'inya ma'aser? So again, they want to know, well, what's the case? Hechidami, kigon da'amdinhu va'asrinhu vishatlinhu. So what happened? You ma'asered it based on omed. What does omed mean? You estimated. Generally, ma'aser has to be measured. We learned this. Has to be measured out exactly, and you calculate exactly the amount, as opposed to truma, which is more of a, you can just kind of assess it. But in this case, what happened? So Rashi explains, shekatsar shibolin harbe v'lo dashan. You didn't do disha. You didn't do the threshing and then the winnowing, and then you ended up, normally you do the...
Deshan is fertilizing.
No, dash. Dashan is dash, not deshan. Dashan is the verb, dash, otan. So you didn't do the threshing, which means generally when would you do ma'aser? You would separate the wheat from the chaff, and you'd have a pile of wheat, and you'd measure the wheat. If you have the wheat with its chaff, then you can't measure it for ma'aser, because your weight, or however you're going to measure, includes the chaff, and the chaff isn't part of what you're giving for ma'aser. So in this case, now why do we want to have a case where it's still with its chaff? Because you're going to replant it. So you basically estimated it. You didn't do disha. You estimated the ma'aser. Now, even though you're not supposed to do this, if you do it's okay. It's considered ma'aser. But then you planted it again. Vehosifa lehu. And now it grew further. So, im timtzalomar lo azlinam batar ikar v'tosefet ba'isurei. If you want to say that we don't follow the ikar and the tosefet needs ma'asering, ikar mai. In other words, can you, the question is, can you miser from part of it on the rest of it? I think, one second. Right, if in the previous case we hold that we don't go lakula after the ikar, remember this whole question, do you go lakula or lakumra? You know, do you go only lakumra or also lakula and lakumra? So if we say you don't go lakumra, then you'll say that the Tosefet, one second. If you don't follow the Ikar, then the Tosefet, right. If you follow the Ikar, then we'd say, okay, so you already did Ma'aser, right? Because you already Ma'aser the Ikar part. But if you say you don't follow the Ikar, so the Tosefet clearly needs, you need to take Ma'aser from it, okay? It's not considered Ma'aser. And then the question is,
in the calculation, right, you also include the part that was the ikar.
Right. Would the bottom also now be re-included in the ma'aser and needing ma'aser? Or do you say it's separate? Okay? So now, Amar le Abaye, ma'ishna mikol chiti v'sare ba'alma. Why is this any different? It's any time, what did we say? If you replant something that you took ma'aser from, okay, we didn't learn this, but if you replant it, it's going to, if you take chitim, and this is a case where you didn't do the disha and all that, and you did the ma'aser with omed. But if you really did ma'aser from it, and you replanted it, planting in the ground creates a new chiyuv maaser. Okay, and you'd have to do maaser. So Abaye says, what's the difference? So what does Rava answer him? Amar le davar shezaro kale lo mibayale. If you plant a seed, what's going to happen? When it grows, the seed is no longer in existence. The seed takes root and then kind of disappears, so to speak, into the new crop. Okay? So if zaro kale lo mibayale, then obviously you're going to have to take maaser because your original, what you took maaser from, doesn't exist anymore. Ela ki kamibayali davar she'ein zaro kale. What I'm talking about is if you plant something in the ground that then will be there in actuality when after, right? Then that, let's say you take a beet or something. I think beets work this way. You take a beet, and then it, puts new roots in the ground. You've already taken maaser from the beet, then it re-roots itself, and then it grows more. So the question is, right here, I don't know, because which part would, but I don't know, something where you then could separate what was there originally, it was still in existence. So would you say that that thing needs maaser or not? So they say,
to start something else?
Right. You would replant it to start more things from growing, but the original thing is still in existence. So would that need maaser or not? Right? If it disappears, kind of gets a tail, and sort of becomes something else, then we're not questioning it. So now they say, Tifsho lemeha, da amar Rabbi Yitzchak, amar Rabbi Yochanan, litra batzal. Okay, let's take an onion. This is a good example. Okay, I don't want to bring a fork because the Gemara now brings it. You take a certain measurement of batzal, shetikno, okay, that you fixed, meaning, what does it mean you fixed it? You meistered it. Vizaro, and then you planted it. Mit aser lefi kulo. Okay, you now calculate the meister based on the whole thing. Okay, so here you see it. There's your answer, right? It's mit aser lefi kulo. So now the Gemara says, no, wait. Hatam by the batzal, hainu zriato. That's the way you generally plant it, okay? But in this case, what did you do? You took the wheat kernel in the chaff, which is not a typical way of planting it, okay? So hacha lav hainu zriato. And because it's not the typical way to plant it, because you wouldn't really plant the kernels with the chaff, so maybe we would look at this as something different, okay? And therefore, he asked the question, and there is no answer like all our other questions. Amar le Rabbi Chanina bar Minyume Labai. Maybe part of the Gemara's way of asking questions and not providing answers is to teach you that you can't always find answers to everything. And that you shouldn't prevent you from continuing to ask questions. Sure. Exactly. Amar le Rabbi Chanina bar Minyume Labai. Atzit she'eno nakuv mahu. So what's an atzit she'eno nakuv? This comes up many, many times in halacha. You have a flower pot that doesn't have a hole in it. It could be on the ground, but doesn't have a hole in it, which means that it's not attached to the ground. As opposed to an atzitz nakuv, which means you have a plant in a pot with a big hole in it. If there's a hole in it, then and it's on the ground, then the roots can get through and it's attached to the ground. Okay, so an atzitz she'eno nakuv is only chayv v'maser midrabana. Okay, it's not chayv v'maser midoraita, but it is chayv midrabana. So he asks, what's the din of this atzit she'eno nakuv? So the assumption of his question, the assumption, the mafreshim say what he's asking, it's not so clear from the words here, is that we want to know about taking maaser from one atzit she'eno nakuv onto another atzit she'eno nakuv. We learned, right? You can take, there's certain cases where you can take truma maaser from one thing on something else, and there's cases where you can't, right? If it's chayav and pator, then you can't take from one on the other, things like that. So that's his question. So now they say, ilo nakuv, ha lo nakuv. Right, so if it's a no nakuv, then it's a no nakuv. So of course you can be mafresh from one atzit she'eno nakuv onto another atzit she'eno nakuv. Okay, so what are you asking exactly? Dilma chazar v'nakvo ka'amarta. Maybe what they're talking about is a case where you made a hole after it started growing. So it started to grow, then you made a hole, and then what happened? In other words, part of it grew one way, where part of it grew when it wasn't attached to the ground. This is exactly our case, right? Part of it is only going to be maser durabanan, the ikar, because it grew in an atzitz nakuv, she'eno nakuv, and then later you made a hole in it, and then the upper part grew when it was actually, right, that part is going to be chayav maaser d'oraita, because that one is getting nourishment from the ground. So that's the question. Can you take from part of it on the whole thing? Right, so let's say I cut off a little part from the top here, or a little part from the bottom. Can that be motzi the whole thing? Or do we say this is a case of chayav ala patur and patur ala chayav? So, hacha chada zriyahi. Do we say, so now he says, this is all one zriyah, basically. Okay, this is one, it's one item. Hu dekam chabre ve'ola. Hatam, when we generally say that you can't be take from a chayav ala patur, that's shtei zriyot ninhu. Okay, so he's basically saying that this is a different kind of suffix. When we talked before about the case of the litra batzal, right, or the case before that, about you took the, you replanted something, so then you're talking about taking from one batch on another. But here, right, there you're talking about that you replanted something. So when you replant it, that's a whole new zriah. As there were two steps. First, you grew it. Then you took maaser. Then you replanted. Okay? And the assumption is that this is the same as that. So now he's saying, no, this is not the same as that, because this is all within one planting. All you did was make a hole at the bottom and let it continue growing. That's already different. That's not going to be the same. You're not going to have the same question here because of that. Okay, next question. By Rabbi Avav. Shibolet shemircha bekeri. Remember we learned about meruach hakeri, where you took the pile of all the grains and then you flattened out the pile. And that's the moment where you chayev b'maaser. So mircha bekeri, it was mitchayev b'maaser, vishatla, but then you didn't take maaser right then. What'd you do? You replanted it before you took maaser. Then, kara aleh Hashem b'mechubar mahu. You called it shruma while it was in the ground. In other words, you said, I'm taking part of this, and I'm designating that it's going to be for truma. Okay, it's a bit of a strange thing how you can do that, right? But you called it, you said, this is going to be truma. Mahu, does this work? Okay, do we say, kevan demarcha tivlale, since you put it in a pile, it becomes called tevel. Remember, what does tevel mean? You haven't taken truma to maaser. Before meruach, you don't need to take truma to maaser. So only once meruach happens do we actually call this item tevel. And since we call it tevel, ki kara aleh Hashem kidshala, you could actually say that what's in there is truma to maaser. O dilma kevan dis shatla, or do we say that since you replanted it, paka le tivla mine? Do we say that by replanting it, that, what did we say now? If you took something and you replanted it and then it grew again, you'd be chayav b'maaser. But this case is a little different. This is, you haven't yet taken the maaser, but while it's in the ground, you say, I'm designating that as truma d'maaser. And what's going to be the problem? Once you designate it as truma d'maaser, so part of it is going to have truma alav, which is going to be usher to a zar. So does that actually have any validity? Do we say that since, that if you were to replant it, and grow something new, you would get rid of the maaser, right? It would kind of disappear, the maaser. That's what we said before. So do we say, therefore, you're naming it truma is irrelevant, because once you plant it, you've already kind of cut it off from the previous? Or do we say, no, since you never took maaser, but it actually was tevel, and now you're taking maaser, even after you planted it, it could still be considered, you're calling it actually would work. Amar le Rabbanan Abaye. Im kein, if you want to say that this is a possibility, right, that you could actually call it truma while it's in the ground, matzinu truma b'mechubar lakarka, then you're basically saying that you can take truma in something that's attached to the ground. And we know that you can't do that. Utnan, it says in the Mishnah, lo matzinu truma b'mechubar lakarka. Okay, according to the Mishnah, it says, there is no truma b'mechubar lakarka. Okay? By the way, if you look, there's a gimel here. You see that gimel where it says it's in a Mishnah, right? Where it says, Lo matzinu truma b'mechubar lakarka. So look at the Masoret Hashas. The Masoret Hashas says, Lekotzer dati lo yadati litzayim mekomo b'mishnah o b'braita sheyehem b'forash davar zeh. Okay, I don't know what Mishnah he's talking about. Okay, I don't know such a thing. I don't know of any braita. You know, you could say, maybe it's not. Usually it's a Mishnah, but it was a mistake, and it should be Tanya, which is a braita. But I don't even know a braita like that. Okay, now, just because there's no Breita, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It could be there was a Breita, but he's pointing out that I don't know where this is. Remember, that was his whole amazing thing. The Masoret HaShas, without a computer or anything, he knew where all the sources were and cross-referenced all of them. Okay, so, on the one hand, we're asking this question, that in theory, you could call something Truma while it's in the ground and create a Truma situation. Then we have some source which seems to say you can't do that. So what are they going to answer? Oh, no. You misunderstood that source. When that source said, Lomatsinu Truma Mechubar LaKarka, it meant, Amar Lei, Kitanya Hahi Le'inyan Ichiyuve Mita V'Chomesh. Di Talish Va'achil Talishu. Vi Gachin Va'achil Batla Da'ato Eitzel Kol Adam. Your chayev, if you take your azar and you take truma, right? You eat truma. So your chayev for eating truma. Okay? What do you have to do? Your chayev mitabi de shamayim. You have to pay the value of it plus a chomesh. And so now we're going to learn that if you eat truma, right, you get this chiyuv. Now, the iser of eating truma and the chiyuv mita and all that is only if you eat something in a normal manner of eating. Now, most people don't eat things that are attached to the ground. Right? You normally would pick something and then eat it. You don't generally, you know, go down on all fours and bite on something that's in the ground. So therefore, when they say, Ein lo matzinu truma b'mechubar lakarka, it means lo matzinu that we can be mechayev someone for eating truma, a zar, a regular person, not a non-kohen, for eating truma if he ate it while it was attached to the ground, because that's not considered achila. Okay? By eating something like that, it's not achila. Okay, let's read the words inside again. De'i talish va'achil talushu. In other words, if he picks it up, you know, detaches it from the ground and eats it, so then it's talush, and then we're going to call it achila. V'gachin va'achil, and if he crouches down on the ground and eats it like that, since nobody really eats that way, we don't call that achila, even though you did it that way, but that's not called achila because people don't really eat that way. Okay? And therefore, we're going to say, don't worry about lo matzinu truma b'mechubar lakarka. You could still, now it doesn't mean we have an answer to the question, but you could still ask your question of, could you call something truma while it's in the ground?
So could you eat it on Shabbat if you don't pick it?
Could you eat it on Shabbat if you don't pick it, right? It's not considered achila, but then you might have a different problem that, you know, you've detached something from the ground by eating, right? Is that detached, right? Is that the regular way of doing it? Right, right. It's a good question. So now they're going to ask a different question. They're going to say, wait. But if you're going to say that gachem ba'achil, if you bow, you know, crouch down on the floor and eat it in a non-standard manner of eating, eat something that's attached to the ground, it's not considered achila. How is that different from something else? Okay, umayshna, here's a funny way of saying it. Midekatev apinkasa di ilfa. It was written in the notebook of ilfa, this halacha, okay, right? Usually in those days, we don't really hear about people having written things so much, right? Usually you learned it from him in the Beit Midrash. Here we say, oh, we have this pinkas of ilfa. And it says in his pinkas, Beitzei nevelata of tahor. Okay, we have to remember what nevelat of tahor is. Nevelot of tahor, which means the carcass of a kosher bird, if you eat a piece of the carcass, right? Normally a carcass of an animal is mitame, if you remember that. Nevelot of tahor is a special, unique way of being mitame, that while you're eating it and it's in your throat, bebet hablia, in your mouth, in your throat, at that moment, if you come in contact with something, you're mitame that item, right? You can transfer tumah while it's in your mouth. So, what is he going to say here? What about the beitzim that were found inside the nevelat of tahor? Let's say you have this nevelat of tahor, this bird that died. Miktzatam b'chutz u'miktzatam b'fnim. Some are outside and some are inside. Okay, some started hatching already, coming out, and some were still inside the dead bird. So, mi b'fnim mitam'im b'gadim ha'beit ha'bliya. The ones that are inside, if you eat the ones that are inside, you kind of, you know, this is going to be the same case. You kind of, you know, bend down over the animal and you take the eggs from the inside and you eat them. They're going to be mitame b'gadim ha'beit ha'bliya. They're going to be mitame clothes that you come in contact with while they're in your mouth. Mi b'chutz, now why are they going to be mitame? Because they're considered part of the nevela, because they were in the animal. But if they were already outside the animal when the animal died, ein mitamim begadim abed abliya, they don't carry nevelat of tahor. So again, what are we going to say? Right? Here you see this is the opposite, where while it's inside and you eat it, even though that's not a typical way of eating the eggs, it is considered achila. So why in this case is it considered achila and in the case where it's mechubar lakarka, it's not? Because we're basically saying mechubar to the animal is like mechubar lakarka. So now the Gemara is going to say, no, those are two different things. The answer, talush avide inche da'achle hachi, b'mechubar lo avid inish da'achle. Okay, in other words, talush avide inish da'achle, hachi, I guess da'achle hachi, okay? So talush, people generally eat it like that. But when it's mechubar, nobody bows down on the ground and picks out something from mechubar. But, maybe I'm answering this wrong, talush. Right, I think what they're saying here is that the animal is talush. And because the animal is, let me just make sure I'm reading it right. Right. The bird is a dead bird, but it's not attached to the ground. In other words, there's a difference between eggs being attached to a bird and crops being attached to the ground. The bird is already detached from the ground. So therefore, it is reasonable that someone would go over and maybe eat the eggs directly from the bird. That's a possibility.
Not they're also inedible.
That the eggs are inedible.
Has to be prepared.
Right. I don't know exactly how they're eating this egg. I was wondering about that.
In its shell?
Oh, in its shell. No.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to understand exactly how they're eating this egg.
Unless the shells are soft.
But maybe someone cooked the bird. I don't know. You know, maybe they cooked the dead bird and then the eggs cooked
the eggs came out before the bird.
No, now we're talking about the eggs that are not coming out. We're talking about the eggs that are inside. Okay? There's also talk of eggs cooking by the sun. I don't know. it's a good question exactly what this is talking about. But anyway, they're going to say that that's already, since the animal is talush, that case is viewed differently, whereas b'mechubar lo avide inshe da'achle. Okay, but when it's attached, people don't generally eat it that way. Okay, next case. Amrav tevyumi bar kisna amr shmua. Hazorea kilayim ba'atzit she'eno nakuv asur. If you plant kilayim, okay, you mix two things in a non right, a pot that doesn't have a hole, it's forbidden. Now, the assumption here is it's forbidden midrabanan. So Abaye wants to comment on this, right? We only got to this because we were talking about the Atzid Sheino Nakuf case, so now we're talking about something else. Am Rabbi, Bishlama Iyash Mi'inan Lo Kema Kamardu midrabanan Shapir. If he wants to tell us, okay, now there's things that are Asur midrabanan that you get Malkot for. They're called Makat Mardut. It means the rabbis instituted, we're going to give you malkot for this Isur Drabbanan, but there's also Isur Drabbanan that you don't get malkot for. So he's saying, if you're going to say, what was his chidush? His chidush is, it's Asur Midrabbanan and you get makat mardut for them. Okay, you get lashes for them. If we're going to say that, it makes sense he's telling you this. Ela Asur, but if he just wants to tell you it's Asur Drabbanan, my kamashmalan, timi Drabbanan, habi Azriya. What does he want to teach you? In other words, if he's just saying it's forbidden midrabanan, what does he want to teach you? I guess he'd want to teach you that midrabanan, putting something in a flower pot, not attached to the ground, is considered planting. And therefore, it's going to be asur midrabanan to do kilayim, because kilayim is planting, and you can't plant kilayim midrabanan. And even in a way that's not, you know, real zriah, but it's enough zriah to make it asur midrabanan. If that's his chidush, and he has two possible chidushim. One is to tell us to get malkot for them, right, which we call makat mardut, malkot midrabanan. Then I understand. But if you want to say that he's just telling you that it's asur midrabanan, that's basically what he's saying, okay, just that it's forbidden. Why? Because planting in an atzitz she'eno nakuv is considered zri'ah midrabanan. That, tanina, we already learned that somewhere else. Where do we learn it? Taram mishe'eno nakuv al hanakuv, truma v'yachzor v'yitom. If you take truma, now this goes back to where we started with the eno nakuv on the eno nakuv. What if you take truma, you have an atzitz she'eno nakuv, you have a plant that's not attached to the ground, and you have another plant that's attached to the ground, and you want to take truma from one to the other. So now if you say it's nachayv in truma at all, then you're going to say what you did is useless, right? So what do they say? If taram mishe'eno nakuv ala nakuv, if you took from the eno nakuv, and you took a part of that as truma on your atzitz nakuv, the one that has a hole that's attached to it, on it's chayav midoraita, it's truma, it is considered truma, Okay, in other words, what's the, you remember we saw those cases where if a non-Jew takes truma, that it's nothing and a czar can eat it, or there were certain cases we saw, right, where whatever you did is totally useless, we can tell him anyone can eat it because that was a useless act. So if the Enon Akav isn't chayav at all, if it's not zriyah and it's not chayav and truma, then your truma shouldn't be considered anything. So therefore, the fact that it says it's truma means that we know already that it's zriyah, and therefore what Rav Tavyumi Bar Kisna is saying in the name of Shmuel is an irrelevant, it's not an irrelevant halacha, it was unnecessary for him to teach it because it's obvious from a braita. So anyway, the second part of that source is that v'yachzor v'yitrom. Okay, in other words, if you did it, actually it's a Mishnah in Demai, this halacha, tarah misheino nakuv hala nakuv, it's truma, v'yachzor v'yitrom. But it is considered truma that it's asur to a zar and only a kohen can eat it, but you have to redo it because you weren't yotze your truma on your atzitz nakuf. The one that was chayav truma midoraita, you weren't yotze meistering that stuff. Okay? So therefore you'd have to do it again. So that just showed that what Rav Tavyumi Bar Kisna said in the name Shua must be that you actually get malkot midorabanan for doing this. Okay? And what was this again? That was if you plant kilayim in an atzitz she'eino nakuf. Okay, the point is that's considered zri'ah midrabanan, and agdei kach that they forbade it, you know, agdei kach that they were mechayev malkot for it. Okay, Mishnah. Hachitin vaseorim vakosmin v'shibolet shu'al v'hashipon hare elu chayavim b'chala. These are what we call the chameshet minei dagan, right? The wheat, the barley, the spelt, the oats, and the rye. Okay, these are the five minei dagan. Where else does this come up? Pesach, yafeh. Okay, and the Gemara is going to bring that. These are the things that are chayavim l'chala. If you make a loaf using these things, you're going to be chayav to bring chala. U'mitztarfim ze im ze. Okay, they combine for the purposes of a shi'ur. Okay, meaning you have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We're going to see exactly for what kind of shi'ur are we talking about. The Gemara is going to get to that. A shi'ur for what? Vasurim b'chadash milifnei, here's the problem here. Okay, here it says milifnei ha-pesach u'milikzor milifnei ha-omer, but many people read it. Asurim b'chadash milifnei ha-omer, right? Anything from these, and even though the omer was only made out of se'orim, bringing the omer allowed all of the new crop, whether it's chitim, se'orim, right? Any of the five minei dagan, meaning they're all forbidden before the hakravat ha-omer. Umiliktzur, and you can't even cut them, milifnei ha-pesach. You can't cut them before Pesach. Okay? Or, asurim b'chadash milifnei ha-pesach, and miliktzur milifnei ha-omer. So there's a bit of a debate when which one is which. Im hishrishu kodem la-omer, this we've seen a bunch of times already, if they took root before the omer, then ha-omer mitiran. Vim lav, and if they haven't yet taken root, asurin ad sheyavo omer haba, then they have to wait. When the omer is brought, that's the determining time. We determine it based on hashrasha, whether it took root or not. Okay. Gemara starts off. Tana kosmin min chitim, shibolet shu'al v'shipon min se'orim. Okay, they say kosmin is a type of chita, right? We're going to, we say five minim, they're going to kind of split it into two. Kosmin goes together with chitim. Shibolet shu'al and shipon are types of barley. Okay? Bit of a debate here whether certain things, there's certain sources that say that some other, like I think it's shipon is also chita or one of them. It's a bit of a debate how to really understand this line. But they seem to categorize it a little bit into two, which would then also affect whether you're going to be chayav and chala if you have a mixed dough of these grains. Okay, if we're going to view, as they're viewed as different types for the purposes of chala. Rashi says, linyan chala, it's drich. Okay, so it says here, if you can read in Rashi, it says in Masecha chala, hachitin ein mitztarfin im akol, chutz mena kosmin. In other words, if you make a dough made up of chitim and shipon, according to this, you wouldn't figure out the shi'ur of how much chala based on both of them. Right? Each would be judged independently. I actually didn't look this up, halakha lemaaseh, because a lot of us mix our doughs, mix our flours. Like I use shipon with chitim, and I was thinking, according to this, it would sound like I wouldn't take challah based on the whole amount. So I have to look this up. I didn't look it up yet. So, and then asorin mitzrafim imakol chutz min achitim. Right? So that's the problem here. It says, so remix with everything except for chitim, but it says kosmin or min chitim. So they explain that it must be kosmin, go with chitim, and they go with seori. Okay, so that's how they would read it according to Rashi. Okay, kosmin, gulba, shipon, dishra, shibole chual, shibole tala. This is just their language. You know, they wanted to know what are these things in our language, and they explain. Okay, now we say chamesh minei dagan. Okay, so hanein, these yes, orez v'dochan lo, right? This is the famous kidneyot, right? Why kidneyot is only drabanan, because, you know, only, sorry, a minhag, because it's clear from the Gemara, we're going to see, because we're going to connect this to Pesach soon, that rice and dochan is millet, that those are clearly not considered minei dagan. Okay, and therefore, you wouldn't be chayav, right? They're not usher on Pesach. And here, they're not chayav and chala. If you make a dough with them, you're not going to be chayav, like a rice bread or something, a rice pudding. Minahane mile, where do we learn this from? Amar Rish Lakish, atya lechem lechem mi matzah. We learn it out from matzah, as Judy said, right? It all comes from Pesach. Tiv hacha. How do we know we're going to learn it from matzah? What you need to be mafresh challah? Because it says, "Bahaya ba'ochlechem milechem haaretz," and that's the charimu truma l'Hashem. That's challah. Uktiv hatam lechem oni, and it calls matzah lechem oni, bread of affliction. So there you see, right? Lechem lechem. So it's true for matzah. It's true for here. V'hatam gufa minalan. Okay, well, that's very helpful. But where do we learn Pesach that it's lachamesh minyei dagan? Amar Rish Lakish, v'chein tanit be'er b'Yishmael, v'chein tanit be'er b'Eliezer ben Yaakov, Amar Krav. The pasuk says, lo tochal alav chametz, shiv'at yamim tochal alav matzot, lechem oni. So what do they learn from here? Dvarim haba'im, it says, don't eat chametz, you have to eat matzah. So what do they learn? What can be used for matzah? Dvarim haba'im lidei chimutz, adam yitzei yodei chovato b'Pesach. How do we know this? Because it says you can't eat chametz, and it says you have to eat matzah, and they say, oh, that must mean whatever can become potentially chametz is what we can use for matzah. We just have to make sure it doesn't become chametz. And therefore, anything that rises is going to be considered, anything that leavens is going to be considered, you can do it, and not things that come lidei sirchon. Okay, what exactly sirchon is, there's some people say, like if you soak it and kind of wait for it to rise, it's going to have a bad smell. Okay, that's one answer, one explanation. It could be it doesn't rise properly, you know, the process doesn't work for it. Okay, umitztarfim zeim ze. Now we have to explain what does it mean, mitztarfim zeim ze, for what purposes. Tana, here's a source, a braita. Hatvua v'hakmachim v'habitzikot. Okay, the grains, the flours, and the doughs, mitztarfim zeim ze, mix up, can combine together with each other. Lemai hilchata, for what, mix up for what? What's the halacha? What is this teaching you, the halacha? Amar Rav Kahana le'inyan chadash. Rav Yosef amar le'inyan chametz b'pesach. Okay, Rav Kahana says this is for Chadash. Okay, well, that's actually, before I read Rav Yosef, I should really explain this. He says, if you have Tvuah and Kemach, and let's say you eat a combination of the kernels, the grains, and the flour, and all together you ate a kazayit of a combination of that, and even, let's say, a little bit of batzek, and all together it adds up to a kazayit, and you ate of the Chadash before the Omer was brought, you're Chayav. Okay, because these things all combine for a shear of achila to forbid chadash. Rav Yosef amar linyan chametz b'pesach. If you were to eat a combination on Pesach of tvuah, kemach, and batzek, or any of the two, you again, and it added up to a shiur b'zayit, you'd be chayav. Rav Papa amar linyan maaser sheni, di achile chutz l'choma lake. You get malkot if you eat maaser sheni outside the walls of the city. So again, if you have maaser sheni, remember, that's where you have to bring your stuff from, you have to bring maser to the Beit HaMikdash and eat it. It's in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years, right? The third and the sixth, you bring maser ani. Those 2 years, you bring maser sheni, you bring it to Yerushalayim, and you have to eat it in Yerushalayim, right? Usually you redeem it and into money, and you carry the money, and you buy it in Jerusalem. And then you have to eat it within the walls of the city. So if you eat it outside the walls of the city, you're going to get malkot. So again, how much of a shear? Do you have to eat a whole shear of tvuah? Whole shear? No, if you eat a bit of tvuah, a bit of kemach, and a bit of batzek, and all together it adds up to a kazayit, a maser sheni, you're going to be loke. Rava amar le'inyan tumat ochlin. Okay, this is what's tumat ochlin. Remember, in order for something to be, to contract tumah, to be, well, we said this could be one of two things, right? It could be either that the food can become tameh, to be metameh something else, or just that the food can become tameh. So le'inyan tumat ochlin, again, we can view this all as one shiur, we can combine. V'hakamash malan, ditzvua ukmachin, dumia debitzekot. What's the source telling you, according to Rava? The tvua and kamach are like batzek. The fact that they're bringing these three together, they're trying to tell you that they're like batzek. Mahatam uchle be'ene, just like in a batzek. Now, what's the difference between a batzek and the grains and the kamach? In the batzek already, there's nothing inedible in there. There's none of the chaff. There's none of the, right, the bad stuff inside. So once you get to that stage. So now when you have a batzek, if you're measuring the shi'ur for the linyan tuma, if it's mixed up with what we call psolet, with stuff that's inedible, that's not counted. We have to remove the shi'ur of the psolet. So let's say you have exactly a kibetza, the shi'ur for tuma is kibetza. You have exactly a kibetza, but it's a dough that has a little bit of psolet in it. Let's say some of the chaff got inside mixed in. We don't count the chaff. Now, you might think that in an earlier stage, maybe we would count the chaff because it's not as problematic. Like when it's in a batzek, it's really it. But otherwise, maybe you wouldn't think so. So what's this coming to teach you? Just like there, it's uchle be'ene, only the ochel itself. Af hachanami, also when we're measuring the shi'ur for linyan tuma, if you have, let's say, tfu'ah mixed up with the chaff, it's only uchle be'ene, and we don't count the chaff, the inedible parts. The Hatanya, but don't, and here, this Hatanya is a proof, not a contradiction. Here's proof from the Braita that this is the case. Chita bein klufa, whether it's peeled, bein she'ena klufa, mitzterefet. Okay, whether it's peeled or whether it's not peeled, it's going to join together for a shiur. In other words, we do count the, I'm sorry, 1 second. No, bein klufa, bein she'ena klufa, mitzterefet. I feel like I'm missing something here. Right, what they're saying here is, okay, so here this source is making a distinction, right? I didn't read further enough. Making a distinction between the se'orim and the chitim. Okay, so what do they say here? Chita, whether it's peeled or whether it's not peeled, is going to be mitzterek for shi'ur. But a se'ora klufa, a barley grain, peeled is mitzterefet. She'ena klufa ain't mitzterefet. But if it's not peeled, it's not mitzterefet. Why? What's the difference between se'orim and chitim? Because chitim, the klipa, is edible. But the se'orim, the klipa, is inedible. So what does it show you? If there's psolet that's inedible, it's not counted as part of the shiur. So this proves it. So now they say, Ini, is that really true? V'hatana debei Rabbi Yishmael, al kol zera zarua asher yizara, this is about things that could be mekabel tumah. What do they learn here from the darshan here? Kederach shebnei adam motzi'in lizri'a. Chita b'klipata, usora b'klipata, v'adashim b'klipatan. Here it says, what could be mekabel tumah? Anything the way they're planted. And how do you plant? Chita gets planted with its klipa. The sarah gets planted with its klipa. And nadashim with their klipa. So what do you see here? The klipa is considered part of it for makabal tuma. So how do you explain this? So the answer, lokasha habelechot habiveshot. When they're soft, then we're going to count. Now here this Rashi holds one way, and Rambam actually flips it the opposite. Okay, which one is which? Okay, we'll go with Rashi. Rashi says when they're soft, they're mitzarfot, Rashi says, dishomerhu, because the klipa protects it, right? When it's the kernel, the grain is soft inside, then you need the klipa to protect it, and therefore it's considered part of it, okay? And therefore it counts for the shiur because it's needed. The Rambam obviously holds the opposite, that when it's just shomer, it's not actually part of the pri, it's just protecting it and it doesn't count. So there's a debate about which way it goes, so contradiction is resolved that way. Ba'asurim b'chadash milifnei ha'omer. Okay, this was again the Girsa problem, whether it's which one is which. Menahane mile. Okay, how do we know? Now, this is a bit of a, again, there's a Rashi Tosfot debate here. Rashi says, what are we trying to find the halacha for? He says, we're trying to find the halacha that Orez and Dohan are out. Okay? But that they're not asurim milifnei ha'omer. But Tosfos says that can't be what they're saying. And Tosfos says that we're learning here, how do we know that it's not just Se'orim that are mutar by the Omer, but it's all the Chamesh Minei Dagan. And so if you want to learn all the Chamesh Minei Dagan, either you're saying it comes to exclude, it's the Chamesh Minei Dagan and nothing more, or it's coming to say not only Se'orim, but also all the other Chamesh Minei Dagan are going to be forbidden until the Omer is brought. So there's two ways of reading Rish Lakish. Anyway, they learn it. What does he say? Ata lechem lechem imatza. Okay, we're going to learn again that what's included, it's whatever's included for matzah, is included here that isn't going to be mutar until the Hakravat HaOmer, or, again, that it's the Chamesh Minei Dagan and nothing more. V'liktsur lefnei HaPesach, minane mile. Where do we learn that these, now here Rashi says that it's the Chamesh Minei Dagan. How do we know that the Chamesh Minei Dagan, you can't do ktsura before the Omer, so, or before Pesach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ati reshit reshit michala. And they learn it out from challah. Since challah is the Chamesh Minei Dagan, then also the Ktzirat HaOmer is going to be Mechamesh Minei Dagan. My Kodem LaOmer, when it says Kodem LaOmer, what do we mean by Kodem LaOmer? Kodem Le Hava'at HaOmer, bringing of the Omer sacrifice, or Kodem Le Ktzirat HaOmer, cutting the Omer, which they do at night. Right? It's going to be a big difference between is it allowed in the morning or is it not allowed in the morning until the sacrifice of the Omer.
Have the same thing with
Yeah, we had this. So now he's going to say, Rabbi Yona Amar Kodem Ktzirat HaOmer. Okay, you can't do it right until before you cut the Omer. Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda Omer Kodem Hava'at HaOmer. Okay, there's a machloket. So now they say, wait, this doesn't make any sense. Because why? Tnan Asurim B'Chadash Lefnei HaOmer V'Liktsur Lefnei HaPesach Bishlama Lamanda Amar Kodem Hava'at HaOmer Hainu Delo Ka'arev Lehu V'Tane Lehu. The Mishnah here distinguishes. You can't cut, again, there's a bit of a debate how to distinguish, but let's assume you can't cut before Pesach, and you can't eat before you bring the Omer. Now, according to Rabbi Yona, who says it's before the Ktzirat HaOmer, which happened on Motzei Chag Rishon, there's not much of a difference between when each of them are mutar. And it should have, right? They say, if you're going to say it before Hava'at HaOmer, then we understand, de lo ka'arev lehu v'tane lehu, that they made this distinction, one before Pesach, and one after the bringing of the Omer, which is, let's say, around midday of the 7th, of the 16th. Ela lamanta amar kodem ktzirat HaOmer, if you say it's before the ktzirat HaOmer, right? That means, basically, larvinu v'litninu. It should all be one isur. The timing is about the same. Whether you can't cut it before Pesach or you can't cut it before the Omer, they're basically one and the same, because when else are you going to cut it in between? Right? It's chag in the middle. You can't cut anyway. So it should have just said one thing. Asurim b'chadash v'liktsur lefnei Pesach. You just should have said, you can't have chadash or liktsur before a Pesach. Ela itmar asefa itmar. So now they're saying, so we got confused. Rabbi Yona and Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda, who are having this machloket, is it before the Ktzirat HaOmer or before the Hava'at HaOmer? They weren't talking about this line in the Mishnah. They were talking about the next line in the Mishnah. Imishrishu kodem laomer haomer mitiran. That when do we determine hishrishu? When is the moment of hishrish? What moment in time do we look at when we want to say, did it take root by now or not? Do we look at, right? And then we're going to have the machloket. My kodem laomer, right? What's the kodem laomer there? Because right, remember, their whole machloka was kodem laomer, but kodem laomer appeared twice in the Mishnah. So we're going to say, their machloka was about the kodem laomer in the very last line of the Mishnah. Haomer mitiran, my kodem laomer, Rabbi Yona omer, kodem hava'at haomer. So as long as before you brought the omer sacrifice, it had taken root, then it's part of the new crop. But Rabbi, and it's mutar, but Rabbi Yossi bar Zavda omer, kodem ktzirat haomer. It's before, and it has to have already taken root when you cut the Omer the night before. Okay, so if something took root in between the cutting of the Omer the night before and the bringing of the Omer the next morning, they would have a machloka between them, whether that's mutar or not. Okay, that's it for today.